This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1. And this is the weather episode.
We're here in Columbus, Ohio, and of course we've had the strange weather. And much of this has been predicted with climate change or global warming. But again, better put, global weirding and climate chaos.
Right. So it is, today as we're recording this, this is July 8th, 2012, and the past week or 2 weeks, we've had outrageously hot temperatures, and also some pretty bad storms at the end of the day. We've had quite a few bad storms. The first one, the Thursday before the 4th of July, knocked out power in Columbus all over the city. Clintonville was without power. Upper Grandview, Upper Arlington, many other neighborhoods were completely without power, people suffering in the heat with no air conditioning. So it definitely seems like the heat wave and these storms are closely related.
Well, and they are. Part of it is, of course, the climate chaos we've talked about, and much of this has been predicted. I wrote an article, you know, more than a decade ago on the insurance companies, but really the reinsurance companies, the insurance companies that insure the insurance companies, Re Munich, Re Swiss, and these private multi-billion dollar enterprises warned of these types of storms, more intense, more chaotic, and they linked it to global warming. And partly they were concerned because of the increase of hurricanes and this real strange weather in the Midwest where, you know, you get 85 mile an hour winds, straight line winds, not a tornado. And these are the types of winds we're just not used to seeing in Ohio and the Midwest.
Right. So in this episode, the weather episode, we're going to be talking about our current weather patterns, climate change and climate change deniers. And we'll also be talking about the government's and private companies' efforts to do weather control, as well as fracking and other environmental hazards.
Well, one of the things people need to keep in mind is that the U.S. military's Office of Risk Assessment has said that global warming, climate chaos, as a result of that, is more of a threat to the U.S. than terrorism.
Right. And it's amazing to me, Bob, that people are still denying climate change. First of all, that it exists or that it's happening. And second of all, that it is caused by human activities down here on the surface of the Earth.
Well, you know, the most of the climate change, climate chaos deniers usually begin by quoting from the paid shills of the Petroleum Institute. Most of the so-called scientists, and there are very few, make a ton of money, and they work for the fossil fuel industry. They work for coal. They work for oil. They work for gas companies. And these are the people that get paid to essentially skew data. They've got a built-in bias and economic incentive to tell us there isn't global warming. What's stranger is sort of their legions of followers in the Tea Party. Some of really the most ignorant, and I don't mean stupid. I mean ignorant. I lack credentials. I, you know, have a high school diploma, never been to college, but I'm an expert because I heard Rush Limbaugh talk on the radio, who, by the way, has one semester in college himself.
Really?
So there's a tremendous amount of people that seem to take pride in being ignorant and just, you know, say, no, I wonder what they're saying with this record drought in the Midwest. And a lot of the reasons the storm, there's some predictions the storms would get worse because we've melted essentially the North Pole. There no longer is, you know, there might be a little slushy up there in the winter, but there's no real frozen North Pole. Hence, more water has moved into open water. Storms coming out of the Northwest are often carrying more humidity, and you're ending up in these very, very strange environments as the climate changes and areas that were green become drought, and areas that were drought are having record rainfall, hence floods in the drought area and droughts in the former tropical areas. That's global chaos. That results from global warming because as we see every year, record temperature, just that 1 degree increase is going to change the wind patterns. It's going to change the circulation of the currents in the water. It's chaos theory. You know, there's a certain balance to the ecosystem, and we have unbalanced it by using non-renewable fossil fuels.
Right. So it's clear that the experts, the so-called experts, the scientists who are putting out this misinformation, they have a vested interest in denying that humans are causing climate change. They're very well paid. Their jobs depend on giving the take on it that their employers are asking them to, coming up with the result that they are being asked to come up with. As for the other ignorant masses of people who are following this, you know, I think that Americans have a certain lifestyle, the consumer lifestyle that they also want to maintain. The truth is, in the United States, our lifestyle is not sustainable. We're not going to be able to keep up this pace for very much longer. If we do, climate change is going to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. We have a record-breaking heat wave this week, and you know, it's definitely affecting people for this week. In February, this past winter, January, February, December, we got hardly any snow. It's supposed to snow in Columbus. It's a major problem that we didn't get snow this year.
And again, in June, I was hearing the so-called dog day cicadas that are supposed to appear in August. It appears that winter has been pushed back. It's been shorter, in some cases colder, but not this winter. But what used to be winter seems to start off in February and end in February. So really, the rhythms that we expect have been disrupted. And fossil fuel, with its so-called externalities, its pollution, is going to continue to wreak havoc upon the environment. Right now, the renewables, particularly solar, cost the same. Solar would allow us to use almost unlimited energy if we would develop and expand that technology. And it's also the new technology of solar is decentralized. So you are your own grid. You and your neighbors can essentially generate your own energy. And with the storms, you've seen what's happened with AEP, right? AEP, which is this large centralized energy grid, is incapable of getting people back up on the grid after these violent storms. But if it was just you and your neighbor, and you could put essentially a film, photocells, on wooden or surfaces or any surfaces that could print, and run energy off it, you wouldn't have to worry or wait for AEP to show up and see if you're dead or not after a week without energy.
So yeah, there are things that we can do in our communities, in smaller groupings of people, to live a more sustainable lifestyle, to have a sustainable source of power. But, you know, the way that the large corporations and the government would typically handle things would be to make us more dependent on capitalism, on the things that capitalism provides for us, on fossil fuels, on environment-destroying fuels. You know, large corporations and business associations are encouraging the use of fracking so that we can have fuel, which is also having very significant impact on our local environment. It's causing earthquakes in Pennsylvania, down to North Carolina, and in Ohio. We had earthquakes last year because of fracking in Ohio. And it's also polluting the water table. If we're going to survive this heat, we're going to need fresh water. We're not going to be able to afford to have it shipped in by Coke, Pepsi, Nestle, or Dannon, the main owners of fresh drinking water. Most of our fresh drinking water is owned by 4 to 6 private companies. We need to keep fresh water public. We need to keep our city waters clean and safe to drink, safe for human consumption, and local.
I couldn't agree with you more. And fracking, like, you know, coal and the other dirty fossil fuel industries, they know their days are numbered. So what they're attempting to do is use any political connections, panic people into extracting as much profit out of the last desperate sources of oil and gas, hence the tar sands that they want to, you know, ship out of Canada through the United States to send to China, that would destroy the aquifers in the prairie states. And the other factors, you know, fracking, you know, what started out is we'll put some CO2 in the ground because it's leading to global warming and we'll bring up gas. Suddenly they're using, you know, 596 proprietary secret ingredients, most of them toxic, like diesel oil, that they're forcing into the earth after they fracture it, because that's what fracking is, hydraulic fracturing, destroying the water tables. So essentially, they're going to destroy. They've already destroyed the air. They've already, you know, started global warming. Now, what's left? They want to pollute the water supply.
Right. It's clear that we live in a tough economy right now, but really, our greatest wealth is our ability to live off the land. Our greatest wealth is our clean water that we don't have to have shipped in from private companies. If we have our own clean water here in Ohio, we have the ability to live. If we don't have that, we're going to have to leave. There's going to be increased desertification in the cities. I live in a very urban part of Columbus, and there are few trees there, a lot of concrete and asphalt covering the ground. And if I ride my bike up north to Clintonville, just a few miles where they have more trees, more green space, I can feel a drop in the temperature immediately as I go down in that gully, that go downhill a little bit up into North Clintonville. The temperature drop is, you can feel it. So fracking is going to be a major problem here if it destroys our ability to drink water and to survive. It's going to be too expensive to live in Ohio because we'll have to ship in our basic needs, such as water.
And again, increasingly people want to tap and take water out of the Great Lakes. And one of the ironies of Clintonville, it's precisely because they are greener, because they do have trees, that a centralized grid like AEP can't service them. Some of the tree branches fall, AEP is spread so thin in maximizing its profit, it's got to go out and get crews from Michigan and Texas and all over the United States just to hook wires back up.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1. And this is the weather episode. All right, Bob. Well, we've covered our local weather. Let's transition into another topic. So I was reviewing your book from the Fitrakis file, Star Wars Weather Mods and Full Spectrum Dominance. This book, it looks like, was written around about 10 years ago, and it basically explains how scientists in the U.S. military can control the weather to the point of using it as a military weapon and the history of doing that.
Well, the first thing is it's not about S&M. Full spectrum dominance sometimes gets misinterpreted.
Different kind of dominance. Military dominance.
It's the S&M relationship we have with the military industrial complex, where we let them treat us
science
as if,
and military.
We are sadists.
Right.
You know, spend our money, run us into debt. It's like a real bad relationship with a dominant male.
It is.
But as we look, a variety of things is that there's a website or a site you can go to, or just Google, weather is a force multiplier, owning the weather by 2025, which was a research paper written back around 1997 by the United States at the United States Air Force Academy. But it's been this goal of the military, the U.S. military, the British military. Wouldn't it be great? The old Soviet military was actually quite good at it. If we could manipulate the weather for military purposes, what if we could create a tornado? What if we could create strong winds?
Right.
And, you know, during the Ho Chi Minh Trail period of the Vietnam War, when guerrillas would come down that trail between Cambodia and Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah, they had Operation Popeye up there seeding clouds. In fact, the famous memo has the phrase, make mud, not war.
Well, you know, Bob, I bet there are a lot of skeptics out there, and I'm pretty much a skeptic. I tend towards skepticism. It really takes a lot to convince me of, well, supernatural things mostly. I enjoy science. I certainly think that if people could, scientists would do this. In fact, people have tried to control the weather for a long time, even going back to, you know, just rain dances and other traditions of trying to do that. Now, this 4th of July, there were fireworks. I went to Whetstone Fireworks. They were great. And it called to mind something when there is a thunderstorm after the fireworks, how common thunderstorms are after fireworks displays.
Well, in the 19th century, they used to try to shock the clouds using explosions. And a lot of the early cloud seeding, you know, let's throw some dynamite out of a plane into the clouds and see if rain can be produced. They've gotten a little more sophisticated, at least within the labs, I'll admit to, with polymers, and essentially what they're working on now is how do you artificially create clouds by putting certain chemicals. And they'll admit they've studied this in laboratory situations. Mm-hmm. They won't admit, although many think they've probably experimented openly, where you create like a sponge. You use polymers and other things, and essentially you attract liquid to it. Or the exact opposite. You disperse clouds by essentially taking the moisture out of there. And they've been fooling around with a lot of electric charges and certain chemicals. The problem is that before any of this can be done, we need an environmental impact statement. The problem is a lot of this stuff hides under national security. There's a very famous treaty, the ENMOD Treaty, which people can look it up, passed by the United Nations. It prohibits countries from modifying the environment for military purposes. And thus, you're an attorney. The big loophole there is, well, can you modify the environment for commercial or civilian purposes? And essentially, the way the treaty reads, it prohibits military use, but not civilian use.
Right. So certainly, the UN, as they have tried to end war around the world, in their treaty, they basically banned the use of weather modification for purposes of warfare, for military use as a weapon, as a way to control people in a wartime situation. However, commercial use of weather modification is legal under that. It's a loophole, so it's not mentioned in that. So basically, private companies such as Dynamat have experimented with weather modification, and they might say that they're attempting weather modification for beneficial use, for preventing hurricanes that kill a lot of people, and insurance companies report cause billions of dollars of damage. So I think the problem with that is that hurricanes are nature's pressure release valve for hot water in the ocean. So if we take that ability away from Mother Nature to cool off her oceans, we're possibly creating problems that are going to be much more grave even than hurricanes, which are naturally occurring.
Yeah, Dynamat really developed out of technology dealing with incontinence by people and animals. The original Dynamat was like if you had an old pet that tended to urinate.
Oh, like a wee-wee pad
exactly.
Little puppy.
It would absorb.
A wee-wee pad.
And really, a lot of the technology grew out of diapers, Pampers. And what their notion was, if you had these things that absorbed moisture and you knew where a hurricane was starting, and they actually admitted they went out into international waters and dropped this absorbent compound, then you could stop the hurricane. The problem is the absorbent, we know, because there was debates that were denied by Dynamat, actually sucks the oxygen out of a lot of water.
Yeah.
And some people were speculating that maybe it was causing these large dead zones.
Yeah.
If you drop these absorbents that sucked up moisture into water, you were creating a dead zone for fish by altering the chemistry of the water and sucking the oxygen out of it.
Right. So in my research for this show, I looked up Dynamat.com, and it's no longer an active website. But for any listeners who want to see the website from 2003, where they're talking about some of their weather modification products, go to the Wayback Machine. It's an Internet Archive website where you can look at some of the archived websites from 5, 10, 15 years ago. It's part of Internet history. So check out the Wayback Machine and Dynamat.com circa 2001, 2003 to see what they were doing at that time.
And part of it was this notion that maybe you could control weather or disperse hurricanes or even start hurricanes. The most famous is the question of HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, which is really based on technology pioneered by the genius Tesla, who again was able to develop wireless and a variety of things. But the guy who had the patent on the modern version, Dr. Eastland, who's now dead, gave a very famous interview to Wired Magazine which said, through HARP, which is really an ionosphere agitator, that is, it picks up all sorts of electronic gain as it shoots through the ionosphere. He said that as designed, his patent, that you could change zonal winds. That is, you could broadly direct storms.
So, slight change of topic, if that's all right. I want to definitely get in some talk about chemtrails in this show. I bet a lot of our listeners have questions about chemtrails, wonder what they are and if they're real. What is a chemtrail, and is it different than just the regular kind of trails that planes leave out? So my understanding is planes, as they're flying through the air, sometimes emit some kind of steam that comes out, right? But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about chemtrails.
Well, chemical trails are just that. It's a chemical trail that appears to be in the sky. Many of the meteorologists who work for TV stations deny these, and one of the oddest things, so you'll get hundreds of sightings of people saying they're making clouds, they're leaving trails in the sky, and then you know, the equivalent of Big Jim Ganahl will come on, or Big Jim locally, and say, that's not true. And chemical trails, which actually appeared in a bill a few years back from Representative Kucinich, who used the term chemtrail. Also, the Russian Duma passed a resolution against chemical trails. Could be a variety of things. Some of them probably protected under national security. Number one, we know the Russians were messing around with essentially sunscreen for the planet, a way to deflect heat. But we know that it's very toxic. We know some of it is military related. I had as sources a couple of scientists working at Wright-Patt, and they said that some of what appears to be chemtrails, particularly giant X's in the sky or what looks like tic-tac-toe grids, are actually used with drones in terms of creating, in the most remote part of the world, you're creating essentially a sky antenna to target people on the ground where you don't have the infrastructure you need. It allows you to use your satellites and to target through a grid. So if you ever look up and it looks like a tic-tac-toe grid, because a lot of this stuff then disperses. It's designed to only be there for a short period of time to be used with the drone technology to shoot people in remote Pakistan and in the Gaza Strip and in Yemen.
Okay, so what I understand about chemtrails is that they contain toxic compounds. A lot of them contain aluminum oxide and barium stearate. Aluminum oxide may be used to alleviate global warming by reflecting back the sun away from the Earth. And the barium stearate, I think, is what Bob is talking about as a conductor, an electricity conductor that is basically a line through the sky that can be used in these surveillance technologies.
Yeah, and the barium, of course, would be the metal. The stearate is kind of a soapy, almost pig fat that holds it in place.
All right. Well, so to conclude, we've had some pretty crazy weather out there. I don't think it is just a fluke. You know, I guess my question at the end of the day is, you know, is the government experimenting on us? Is one question, only one question that comes to mind. I don't want to sound too paranoid, but I do think it's a valid question. What's going on with this crazy weather and all the power outages in Columbus, Ohio?
Well, I believe it's global warming, climate chaos, and it will continue until we move to renewables.
This has been The Other Side of the News with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton. on WCRS 98.3 102.1. Stay cool.